everyone, and welcome to the Even Me podcast with your girl Kim.
And this is More Speaks.
And our topic today is, go ahead, Anthony, and say what our topic is about.
All right. So today is when choosing your season, choose wisely.
Mm-hmm. So
go ahead. What?
I like that one because it's like on anything we do, because we're in that choosing season, we just choose the first thing that comes. We choose the first thing that looks good, but we don't choose wisely. So that's based on job, neighborhoods you move to. Man, I chose two of them before this one, and it looked good on the outside in the daytime, and then at night all hell broke loose. When you're choosing a mate, a lot of people choose what they want in their 20s or their 30s. Like, remember, I always say, everybody talking about this body, I need my person to be healthy. I don't need nobody. You want to have a whole six pack and blah, blah, blah. I need somebody.
What's healthy?
That's the thing. Nobody knows what healthy, because you could be 200 pounds versus somebody 160. And that's in my dad's side of the family. I have a cousin that's like 160 and has real bad diabetes, you know? And I'm two. I don't have it. Whew, knock on wood, thank God. But you know what I'm saying? So people go through stuff and have issues. But when I choose, I feel like now choosing a person, because we get older. So it's getting to the men over 45 and women over 45. When you're choosing a mate, you better choose somebody that's willing to be around when they're around now, because you can still, you know, swing around the chandelier or flip backwards or whatever you can do. But you better choose somebody that can change your diaper too. When it comes to you looking at that person every day, is that person going to be with you when it comes down to you getting sick or something tragically happens? You know what I'm saying? And you need them.
Yeah, so, we said before, unconditional love.
Unconditional love. And I thought about that, thinking about my dad, you know, taking care of my grandmother, helping with my grandmother. And, you know, I never thought my dad was that type of person. But when you put under them circumstances, what you won't do, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, I was thinking, like, you know, if I'm choosing a mate, let me choose somebody that if I get sick, they got my back. Because I went through a bad C-section, the last child I had. Now, financially, that person was there, but emotionally, no. You know, as far as me, I had three surgeries in one day. I still had to make moves and get him to the doctor before I even healed. So I don't feel like, to me, that's probably all he could give. I don't feel like he was there. You know what I'm saying? When you see somebody just gutted open and almost died and lost blood, and you know, you'd be more there. But he was there financially. He said that was his thing for him to do, you know. But still, emotionally, you wasn't there. You wasn't available emotionally, and I needed that more than anything. Yeah, we needed a roof over our head, but it was a tragic time. So yeah, I just thought about that. I don't ever want to be put in that predicament where I don't trust with that person be there for me when it comes to the hard time.
Yeah. So going back to the healthy part, so you can be, let's say, healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's different stages of healthy. There's different types of healthy. There's mentally healthy, you know, mental health, you know, physical. Mm. You know, you could be physically fit, but your mentality is not all there. Same as, you know, vice versa. You could, your mind can be there, but guess what? You just may be overweight. You know, as you know, I lost a ton of weight. Mm-hmm. And after I lost all the weight, they basically said I'm diabetic, which is because I lost over 60 pounds. And then while I was just eating whatever I wanted to and started winding down little by little,
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, getting skinnier from 285 to two, right now I'm like 220,
mm-hmm.
26, you know, I thought doing that would be great. And I wouldn't have to deal with anything, no issues. And as soon as I lost like the most weight I ever lost, you know, they tell me, hey, you're diabetic. You know, mm-hmm. so that's one way of being healthy. Like you said, you know, you never know who has it. A skinny person can have, you know, be diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
No, but then going to, you know, who you're choosing, you know, to be your soulmate, be your unconditional person, to be your person who's going to take care of you, you know, in the good and the bad. It's there's no way, there's no indications on who that person will be unless you have certain trials during your relationship. And you'll see, you know, like you said, you had a horrible C-section. He was mm-hmm. there financially, but he wasn't there emotionally. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have found that out until you had a baby with him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Same as, you know, two people can grow old together, and the man maybe, you know, throughout his years, maybe had never really like really, really like took care of his wife or anything. But in that situation, dire situations, you don't know, you know, he may be willing to step up and be like, hey, I know you can't wipe your own ass, so I'm going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he could be, you know, and I know a lot of people like this, their gag reflex is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And smelling someone else's doo-doo, you know, could kill them. You know, they could, mm-hmm. you know, start throwing up, you know, just smelling other people's throw up or bad gas or, you know, you never know what that person's willing to do for you until you get into that situation. You
yeah.
know, day 30 of being together, you won't know anything about that person. Especially mm-hmm. if you guys have never lived together or anything like that. So that's kind of a great area when it comes to a relationship,
mm-hmm.
because one person can be your soulmate, but that doesn't mean they're going to take care of you.
Yeah. I would love them to get the help, you know, even though I don't think me personally, I probably can change if it came down to my parents, like, but I don't think I could do that because I gag when I see people throw up, you know?
Yeah, but being put in that situation, I think you would, because one, it's your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you know, there's a dire need. Yes, you can get help. Like I think you're going to lead into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can get help, but the thing is, okay, that help ain't going to be there 24/7. So there's going to be a time that is just you and your parents, or you and your husband, or you and your boyfriend, or, you know, your significant other. You guys are going to be, you know, let's say 12 midnight or something, you know, and an accident may happen. You know, you don't know, you know, I've dealt with, you know, different situations, and I think I've overcame it because my gag reflex, you know, I don't think it's so much seeing someone throw up. I think it's the smell
mm-hmm.
that makes me gag. Now, cleaning someone's doo-doo, I don't, you know, if you've had kids and you wipe your kid's ass, it's almost the same. So, you know, you're going to gag, but you're still going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, you know, with your kids is going to be unconditional no matter what.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, are you willing to do that for your significant other?
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you have to pace yourself with a person to try to see if that person that way, because they can be the sweetest thing in the world, woo you or whatever, and be an asshole when it comes down to you're not mobile anymore, you're not able to do anything anymore. And that's just, oh my God. You know, I don't think, me personally, like, I couldn't be that person, you know, because you never know what, I mean, God brought me out of a lot of situations that I should be on an oxygen tank right now, you know what I'm saying? Or I should be you know, walking bent over, crippled over, whatever. And God brought me out of a lot of it. And it was just to get me, you know, further on. But I'm just thinking, like, anything can happen. So I don't want to be that person to say that, oh, if he this happens to him, or I ain't gonna be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? So things change. Like, my son had his open heart surgery. I screamed and cried and said I couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? When you, and I feel like when you love somebody unconditionally like that, spouse, you know, family member, child, you build up this strength that you don't know you have. And I did that. You know, I cried to take nurses home with me, right? So, and they was like, you got it. I was like, no. And, you know, seeing this little bitty baby with the chest all open up and this bracket. Oh, man, it was horrible. But I did it. You know, I had him on the, I figured a way to pick him up where it didn't hurt him. I figured a way to notice the signs that he was in distress. So he was in pain, and brought him back after his 6 months checkup. And they was like, you know what? Out of all them parents, you were sitting here screaming that you didn't want to take this baby home by yourself, and he came back with nothing. Nothing. No sickness, no infections, no nothing. I wouldn't let nobody come into that house. They couldn't come around him. If they did, you could see him from a distance, wash your hands. I made his dad stop smoking. And you know, for a smoker, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't smoke. You couldn't be in this house with our son. And, I mean, yeah, you build up that unconditional love that you think you don't have, and that strength, you end up, you know, doing amazing things. But that's why I was like, you know, going back to my grandparents, they was together to the end of time, like, you know, to their end of time, you know, yeah. Both of them. And I guess each set of grandparents watched one leave this earth. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother had leukemia on my mom's side, and my grandfather watched that, and he made sure that his kids got her to the doctor and whatever she needed. My grandfather on my dad's side had prostate cancer, and my grandmother, he was in the, you know, in the house. He had his own separate room, but she was there. She's checked and cooked, and while she was still mobile. And to see that kind of love that they had still for these people, even though they were sick and all the stuff they went through, and like, was their marriage perfect? Like, I thought they were, you know what I'm saying? But as I grow and learn and ask questions, neither one of those marriages was perfect.
Right.
They was, one was abusive, one was cheating, one or the other, but they always came back to each other with that love and that understanding. Okay, you slipped up and you made this mistake, but I love you this much, and we're gonna work through this. And for them to be married over 60 years, that's amazing. And so
I think we have too many choices in this world now. I mean, it's great to have choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you just think about it, you know, your grandparents, my grandparents, you know, they were together till the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they slept in different beds, most likely. You know, I know mine's did. Mm-hmm. You know, so there was interaction, but there was not like a ton of interaction. And the best marriages, problems are kept at home. Problems are kept between the couple. Nowadays, you know, let's say, you know, you have a fight with your significant other. You're going to run to your mom. You're going to run to someone. You're going to run to your brother or sister. You're going to run to someone that you can talk to. Oh, I need a vent. I need to talk to you. Well, what happens is you vent. And we said this before. You vent to other people. They fill up your head with more crap, you know, and then you go back to this person and you want what they said to come out and be like, well, such and such said you're supposed to do this, you know, mm-hmm. or this and that, right? So if we were back in those days and in the golden era,
mm-hmm.
they would fight. They would keep it within them. Money problems, it didn't matter. Cheating. You know, how many parents that you know have like a insignificant child with another person? And they continued on. They kept they carried on, you know, that person maybe or may not, you know, have kind of meshed into the family, and they made it seem like it was an uncle or something like that, you know, but they just kept moving on. It wasn't like now it's like, oh, I need to post this. I need to do this. Everybody need to know this. This motherfucker's a cheater. Right? So, you know, I'm going to go key his car. Back then, they didn't go that far because they knew the value of, for one, they knew the value of money. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't go key another person's car because you knew that that was worth a ton of money. Mm-hmm. You know, a nickel back then bought you a hamburger. A nickel now buys you nothing. You can't even buy a piece of gum. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the prices are higher. And the way, like I said, it's, we have so many choices in this day and age. If you can't get along with someone or you feel like it's over, it's over. Mm-hmm. You know, you just say, oh, what the hell with it? You know, I'll sell my house. You know, I'll move, you know, separately. You know, that's it. The relationship's over. Back then, your status was having a house, having a marriage, having the white picket fence, having a family, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't, oh, and having a car and maybe a TV, you know, it was always something, you know, that in the community, you look like, you know, the Joneses. What the Joneses had, you had. So that made it a perfect family, perfect relationship. And you wanted to keep it. Because how many times have we heard, you know, in the past, you know, like you said, it wasn't perfect. May have been abusive or may have been verbally abusive, but they stuck together. And to the end, till they died, they kept all their secrets. Well, at least most of the secrets, unless someone saw it. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's like nothing's a secret. Mm-hmm. You get into a relationship, you're going to go spill all the beans. And then such and such is, like I said before, oh, let's go have a drink. Y'all go get drunk, and then all the shit talking comes out. Mm-hmm. And all that. So it's like, I think just because you have a choice to leave or move out or sell the house or find another partner, you may just want to stick it out. You know, if it's not abusive, if it's like, you know, maybe he was flirting with somebody or something, or she was flirting, but nothing ever happened. You know, maybe you need to talk about it. Maybe you need, you know, if someone's spending too much money and the other one's not, you know, talk about it. Don't just find an out and be like, well, the hell with it. You know, the next person you find, like you said, the grass ain't always green on the other side. That one could be abusive. The first one probably was verbally abusive. The next one's going to be physically abusive. You know, you never know.
Mm-hmm. And then what people do is, oh my God, I'm just reiterate this song. I don't know what, I was in my work truck and the radio came on and this song, you know, you sitting at a light, you just, okay, let me listen. And it said, we outside tonight, something, something. Okay. And then he got the singing that you over there tripping because you in Houston and everybody share everybody. You gotta hear that song. I don't know, some guy from. Okay, yeah, I probably have it all wrong, but I know he said you're in Houston and everybody sharing about everybody. They share each other partners.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? What is the hell is that? I'm like, no, it did not just say, you know, this is common. You know, this is so. And then listening to my 12-year-old. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, that's an eighth grader. He dating two girls at one time. And, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, this shit is like truly like they putting this image in everybody's head that is OK. What is it? You know, different celebrities are saying it's OK. And the world is so crazy. And I'm like, and then people go choose or go to that grass that looks greener. And then it's not as all as it seemed to be. It's green, but then when you take your shoes off and try to walk through it barefoot, you stepping on picky bugs.
Step on shit.
Look, okay. Yes, you stepping on dog shit, whatever manure they have to.
Typically, I'd say the grass is greener. Yes, the first few months, until the real person in that body comes out and the, well, what I call the honeymoon phase is over. You know, so I don't know. I think switching from relationships to relationship is tough. That's why, like you said, you got to go ahead and make sure, you know, during that season, you choose the right one now. And it's the one that ultimately, you know, hopefully it's the one for the remainder of your life, because, you know, you don't want to go going through seasons. You know, we got four seasons. It's, you can't find four seasons in your life. You know, once you get to our age, it's like you have to find that one and stick to it and make sure it's the one. Don't pick the first thing just because they tall, dark, and handsome, or she's fine. You know, that Instagram model ain't got no money, you know, or that person posting, you know, cars and they're all rentals and stuff. You know, you don't know. You know, I think like I said, we got too many choices. So you gotta choose right now, you know, and make sure that, I'm not saying like choose right now, but I'm saying like you have to choose now your best option that's gonna take you, you know, the remainder of your journey in life, because you don't want that broken duck unless you're able to fix that broken duck and both of you, you know, able to mend each other. Because, you know, it's I don't know. Right now, I think the way the world is everyone that was, so let's say in our prime when we were like 18, everything we knew then, these kids know now when they're six. You know, it's like the kids are listening. I mean, I've never heard a curse word on TV, on the radio, until now, as much as I do versus when I was growing up. You know, and it's like kids listen to it, and sometimes they listen to it for the song, but, you know, when you go to TikTok and all that, it has the curse words and you're like, wait, hold on. Like I heard a conversation with two kids the other day, and they were talking about how the girl went down on him. Kids had to have been only like 15 maybe. And they're talking about how the girl went down on them and yada yada yada, and he was trying to make sure he didn't bust a nut too early. I'm like, this is the kind of shit we had conversations on when we were like 28. You know,
yes.
I mean, maybe younger, you know, but I'm just saying, you know, out in the public talking like that was never had before. It's I think it's too much sometimes.
It is. And then you have to look at, okay, I'm not condoning a sex offender, a perverted damn person, male or female, but I'm gonna just say it. Basically, we just don't. My son had to make me see it. I was like, oh, my daughter making 15, I'm gonna get her a Quintiana party. I like it, it's cute. Never been to one, right? And then he was like, oh, no, you're not. I'm like, yes, I am. It's cute. I want to dress up in dress and everything. He was like, that's the one, you know, the girl going into womanhood. And these men started choosing her at that age. And I'm like, shit, what the hell for the black people? Because this is the same thing. We don't have a Quincieta or a Nicieta or anything, because that's, it's actually the same.
For Americans, it's Sweet 16. For Mexicans and Central Americans, it's 15.
So that's just,
say I'm gonna have a 15. It's a quinceañera. That's what quinceañera means. So Americans, we do Sweet 16. They have a 16 party. It's a little bit different.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's a woman coming of age, but I don't think it's so much like courting. I think more in the, like in the Indian culture, is more like a courting type time, you know. That's when they start setting up their pre-arranged marriages and things like that. But I'm not 100% sure. I know I've had some friends that we were in high school and they actually escaped to America because they already had a pre-arranged marriage and they stayed here. They were gonna come and kind of like coming to America, so as royal oats. You know, that's basically what they did, but they didn't go back to India,
man, because, you know, it's just like, you know, these guys looking for these younger girls, and they put themselves out there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not condoning it, but I'm gonna say, coming from a broken home, I was that young girl, got with an older man. I was young, and because I needed some kind of directive, you know, some kind of structure. And some of these guys do the most craziest things to these young girls. And I can say that the older guy I was with, he taught me about education. He taught me about work and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I did have a stable house and I had a car, whatever, but that's what he taught me. But you have these people looking at these little young girls now because they actually putting it out there. And the mothers think this is cute. You know, they think that, oh girl, you sexy, you know, you got boobs, you got hips, you got this, you fine girl, you the. And that's what are you telling your daughter? You setting her up already to say? And I'm talking about these little girls be talking like they're like me and another 47-year-old woman should be talking. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking, and this is in the stores, and I'm like, dang. And you know, some of them already look older because the food and whatever we feeding them. So some of them look older anyway. And I'm like, oh my God, and that's where a lot of old, I ain't gonna say old, it's just people in general. I'm not gonna just say old men or women. They look at what happens right then, and because of the sex, and you end up being with a young person, not carding them. A lot of people don't card these people, these kids these days. And my son almost got caught in that situation. Thank you, Jesus. Because when he brought the girl home, I was like, uh-uh. She look a little young. Let me see your ID. Oh, I'm 18. Because he was 18. Hmm. That damn girl was 15 years old. Get your ass on and leave my son alone. Because that could have been a case right there, buddy. And so it's just like everybody choose everybody based on this little, I guess, you know, I got two left. They gonna be choosing because of sex. You know, it's gonna be, oh, what this one can do for me for sex. You know, God forbid, I'm having to talk with them. But that's how people do. They don't choose wisely. Oh man, the sex was, oh my God, it was good. This one here didn't give it to me like that, or whatever, whatever. Okay, did you choose that person because of sex, or you choose that person because they have substance? If you can choose them for sex, what happens when there's no substance?
Yeah.
There's nothing. So you making money, and I think a lot of people like that, including women. They like somebody that they can keep under them, you know, and you know, less thin, instead of somebody that's strong-minded, strong will, that has something to offer, you know, with them. You choosing, you know, little, like, a woman. My son was 19. And she was 42. Mm. This is what you choose. And I didn't even know what was going on. He driving her car and everything. I'm like, you know, I'm working two jobs away. Where do you get this car? I'm over my friend's car. And come to find out, it was this 42-year-old woman. You messing with a 19-year-old. Come on. What are you going to get? Yeah, what are you going to get, you though? That's what I'm saying. And then you got just the same way these older men get these young women and try to bring them in, and some of them you can turn them into a wife, but other ones, you got, man, that's a lot of patience you're gonna have to develop, because you're dealing with a kid mentally, not physically, but mentally. So if you willing to mold that child, because as we know now, a lot of 20s and 30 year olds are not raised properly at all. There's no old grandmas there. There's no old great aunties there to help instill in them, great uncles. So they learning from whatever, you know what I'm saying?
You know, so. I think there's two. I mean, it's great for everybody to be independent, but I think when mothers or fathers, you know, become independent and they don't, you know, work with the family, you know, they're not cohesive with the family, you know, that those teachings don't go far. Like they don't understand, hey, you know, what can a 42-year-old offer a 19-year-old? I mean, yeah, they can teach them a lot of things, but that 42-year-old is just looking for sex. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. or someone, you know, to accompany them, you know, what's going to happen like further down the line, or vice versa, you know, a 42-year-old man with a young girl, you know, what does she have to offer? She doesn't have brains. She's basically there because you're an older person, you know, vice versa, you know, the man or the other female, you know, it's not like she's developed, you know, she don't have a college degree because she's, you know, 19. She hasn't even made it that far. She doesn't know life. So of course, only life she knows is what he's showing her, or what, you know, the cougar's showing, you know, the young boy, you know, and yeah, maybe, you know, she'll let you drive the car here and there and flaunt you, but, and buy you stuff. But what's going to happen later on? You know, they either one is going to throw you away, and then now you got a broken heart and you learn nothing. You just wasted years of your life, or, you know, that person can't even do anything for you. I think normally 10 years is the max difference, unless a person's younger than 18. Mm-hmm. Only because even a 40-year-old or 30-year-old can still have a childlike mentality. You know, yeah. More younger younger than 20 is going to be a childlike mentality than someone that's 30 or 40. At least they live somewhat of life, have maybe a couple of relationships, unless they were under a rock or something. But, you know, if you're not bringing nothing to the table, like we said before, then what's the use of you know, the whole relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People don't look at that now. Substance, you know, I want somebody with some substance. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to make six figures to be in my life. You don't have to, you know, be, you know, churchy or totally godly, but you have to know him, you know. Hey, I need you to know God, but I just need some substance behind it. I mean, you know, I can't be like the little piglet and build my house on straw. Because when the wind blow, he gonna blow. I don't have time for it.
don't be Goldilocks.
Nah, not Goldilocks. Yo, that's some, nah, I ain't got no blonde roots.
All right. So this has been our conversation today on podcast number 29. Again, if you would like to be on our podcast, or you'd like to reach out to us, reach out at Even Me Podcast on Instagram, or watch our YouTube videos. Same thing, Even Me Podcast. Any closing statements, Kim?
No. Basically, when you're choosing, first choose wisely. Take your time. Look at the situation. What looks good ain't always good. So, you know, definitely get to know, test drive that car. That's fine. Test drive it.
Kick but the see tires for a bit.
Yeah. And see what different gas it can take. You know, if it only take 93, I ain't got time for you. I need somebody who can take 87. You know, 87 do go down a little cheaper. But just choose wisely. Choose somebody with substance.
All right. So, y'all, thank you for checking out the Even Me Podcast. This has been More Speaks.
And your girl, Kim.
And we out.